swear to be my way. I sight Jenny here below.
Shalom, saints, and welcome to Reflections on Faith. This is your brother, friend, Brother Jason Zima, welcoming you to the program. And with me in the studio is Pastor Piri. Welcome to the program, Pastor.
Oh, welcome, Brother Zima, and God bless you.
Yes, Pastor, and without wasting much time, we are still continuing from where we left off in the last episode, and we are still looking at the issue of marriage. And then today we are looking at the third part, and this is financial management in marriage.
Yes,
Pastor, we can pick it up from there.
Thank you, brother. And what we had mentioned was marriage should be built on knowledge, not just merely feelings of love, but one needs to have knowledge. And we mentioned three areas of knowledge which are very important for a couple. And we are continuing to speak, you know, about the third aspect. So first we had mentioned you need to have knowledge about what marriage is. Secondly, you need to have knowledge about the three main stages in the journey of marriage. And thirdly, what we are talking about is knowledge of planning and financial management. So let's talk about that. It is important to be aware that a successful marriage doesn't just happen abruptly. It is work.
Yes.
There are certain things which require deliberate effort. You don't just leave things to chance. Marriage is really like a field with trees, shrubs, weeds, and all that. And one needs to start working to remove all the undesirable things for that wild-looking place to turn into a beautiful garden. And when something becomes a beautiful garden, well, people admire it. In our modern life, people pause there and want to take selfies because the place just looks beautiful. But like every other beautiful place, there are people employed to do certain tasks consistently. There will be someone who always works on the lawn, another person who takes care of various other things, and together, all these little small efforts, they culminate into something which is beautiful to look at. So it's the same thing with marriage. Whichever successful marriage you've seen, whichever marriage you've seen which, well, you admire, it didn't just pop up out of nowhere. There are principles which those two people adhere to, and they've put deliberate effort into certain things. And this is where I need to say that when you look at fatherhood, when a man is married and, well, he is a husband, and sooner or later he becomes a father, and as the journey continues, if there is no good skill of planning and how to manage resources, what will happen is the family will start growing. And when I say growing, I mean the journey of marriage has various stages, and as you move on, certain things begin to come into the picture which were previously not there. Okay, if you have a child, there are certain things which will start happening which were not happening previously. And that calls for increased capacity of how you're going to manage the present status of your marriage. And as you move on, if the level of your knowledge is stagnant, or you are still the same kind of a person who had gone into this marriage, challenges and problems are going to outgrow your capacity to manage them. And that leads to problems, that leads to confusion, that can lead to more tension. And here I have to say that it takes a male to produce offspring. It takes wit or intelligence to construct a house where the offspring has to live in. But it takes wisdom and understanding to establish a home. Now, let us go to Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Let us read Proverbs 24, verse 3. And Brother Nzima, I want us to read this in the different versions.
Okay.
Let us read Proverbs 24, verse 3.
Okay, what version are we starting
with? We can read, let me read King James Version, then I want you to read Amplified.
Okay.
I'll start in King James Version.
All right.
Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Okay, Amplified.
Okay. That's, we start from what verse?
Verse
Proverbs
3.
3, verse 3, okay.
Proverbs 24, verse 3.
Okay. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built.
Now, that's beautiful. In the King James Version, it uses the word established. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Now, let's look at that word establish. Establish, the Hebrew word is kun. And it means to be erect, meaning something standing perpendicular, something standing upright. It also means to be stable. Right?
Yes.
It also means to tarry, okay? To put up something which is able to tarry or to endure for a long time. And when you look at the Oxford Dictionary, it says to establish means to start something that is meant to last for a long time. Now, and that is very critical, because the way God has designed human life, if you are a man, you carry seed. When you produce a child, it's in the design of God that there will be a cycle of life. You have the energy, you have the wisdom, you are able to move up and down to provide for the needs of your wife and the children.
Yes.
Now, what will be happening is, as you move on through time, your strength, your energy, your abilities will start depleting. Now, as they start depleting, it's either the energy is just getting lost in the air, and there is a disconnect between you and the child, or and the wife, or what will be happening if wisdom has its home in you, you won't just be busy moving up and down, but you realize that all these activities you are doing, it is for the continuity of life or your name through that child. And so, apart from working to feed the family, you want to impart knowledge, you want to establish resources, and as you are doing that, your energy, your life is being transferred to this offspring, which is growing. You are depleting, they should be increasing. As life moves on, you are becoming younger, they are getting older. Later, you lose strength. You start walking the way you started when you were a little kid, struggling to walk. You begin to lose your teeth. Your sight becomes dim until you reach a point that you can no longer work to pursue things. At that point, it's your children taking care of you, and you can't run away from that. It's the course of nature.
Yes.
Now, that is where one, all of us needs to have sight, that whatever has a beginning has an end. If you're listening to this and, well, you have a work, you have a job, you feel all your strength, I want to remind you that inside, deep in your chest, is a pump that has been working from the time you were born. And every beating of that heart is a part of your life, is a part of your energy depleting, going out. Whether you are seated doing nothing, that pump works 24/7. Brother Nzima, do you know that if you charge your phone, even if it shows 100%, if you leave it on the table without touching it or doing anything to it, there is still a very slow process of energy depleting out of that battery.
No, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, because it exists in time. Anything that exists in time has to go through this process of decrease, this process of, dying out. All right? Now, the thing is, human beings have been given so much a privilege to be able to think, contemplate, analyze, and even to be able to see what is coming ahead and to plan for it. For example, when it is winter, it gets very cold. Oh, we don't just say, oh, it is cold, there's nothing we can do about it, and we die in the cold. Our experience has taught us that there are four seasons. And whenever we know that winter is coming, we are going to start doing certain preparations to try to persevere or to live through with the winter that comes. You're going to invest in something warmer. You're going to invest in all those things that will enable the body to still try to live comfortably, even when the weather has become unfavorable. So now, that is how life is. Life has seasons. And the trouble is, many times, we are aware, especially every time we visit a funeral, there's that thought that rings in our minds that the same thing is going to happen to me one day. The big question is, between here and there, what are you planning to do in this space called time? And now, it's either one lives their life carelessly, they don't think about tomorrow, and whatever God has allowed them to receive in their hands, whether by means of a salary, income through a business, if one lives a careless life where they just spend whatever comes, they spend it in the now without thinking about tomorrow, well, I don't need to be a prophet of what will happen to you when you get older and all the resources you used to have are no longer there. To those of you who are working, if you have a family, you need to know that you are in serious work. The energy you have, the job you have right now, you will never always have it. It's not a question of whether it will happen or not. It's a question of when it will happen. The question is, what plans do you have in life? What plans do you have for your children? What plans do you have for your wife when that day comes? Now, is your life going to be in such a way that you will die with whatever you have? Do you know they are hardworking parents, but who don't spend time mentoring the children to pick on where they will end from? And now, Brother Nzima, I am aware that issues of marriage, even financial management, these can border on cultural issues.
Yes.
Some of these things, for people who live in certain regions of the world, they don't even need to hear it because their culture is in such a way that people are very responsible. They know about how you need to plan for certain things. But that could not be a situation from where I come from. And so if you feel, well, you are aware of this and really I don't need to talk about such things, just ignore the issues. But I come from a region of the world where a pastor's work shouldn't just be talking about how they need to make it to heaven. I come from a region of the world where carelessness is often mistaken for faith.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. Where someone can be careless, the way they live their lives, the way they spend their resources.
Yeah.
They can't invest in an education of a child.
Mm.
And regardless of how much they may earn, they can't point at anything which would be sustainable in case tomorrow they're not there.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
And Brother Nzima, you and I, we are in Africa, and, well, we are in Zambia in particular.
Yes.
And you know that if there is one thing Zambians do not have, it is, well, I'll call it the seventh sense. Because sixth sense, we call it faith, right?
Yes.
The five senses, people say faith is the sixth sense. If faith is the sixth sense, there's another sense, it's called, I call it the sense of time.
Yeah.
And that is one sense which is lacking. I don't know which other people, but at least I can speak from where I come from, Brother Nzima. Yes, Zambians simply do not have the sense of time. They take time like a rubber. You know, you can stretch it, it will come back to the way it was. In Zambia, when you say we shall have a meeting at 14 hours, secretly you all know that is 16 hours. That's when the meeting will start.
Yeah.
And you know what upsets and irritates me is people have accepted, you know, they call it Zambian time. And even when you make a program, if you were to show up there at 2 p.m. and then maybe after 10, 15 minutes, you leave the place and you are asked, oh, you didn't come. You say, no, I was there.
Yes.
But I left when no one showed up. How long did you wait? Well, I waited for 20, 30 minutes. Nothing was happening. Well, you really look like a bad guy, because don't you know that if we make a program at 2 p.m., Zambian time is 3 p.m. or even 4 p.m. And these things have been embedded in our culture.
No, that is
there
true.
Is simply no sense of time. Now, I've always said, don't be afraid of people, don't be afraid of things, don't be afraid of the devil, but there's one thing you need to fear. Of course, besides God, one thing you need to fear is time. Because time doesn't wait for you. It affects everyone. Time and opportunity happens to them all. Can we read that, Brother Nzima? That should be in Ecclesiastes, right?
That should be Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10.
Yeah, let us read that. You can read it.
Okay. I'll read from Amplified.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might, or no?
Yeah, but that makes a good verse, doesn't it?
Okay. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol that they need the world.
Can you read that again?
The dead. Where you're going.
Read it again.
Whatever your hands find to do.
Mm-hmm. That could be your job. That could be your employment. That could be the calling God has put upon your life. That could be whatever God has provided to come through you. Yes.
Do it with all your might.
Mm-hmm.
For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, the nether world, the place of the
dead. Is that planning what you said?
Yes. Activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol.
When you die, you're not going to say, well, let me plan how my life will be, okay?
Amen.
The only privilege you have to plan out things is the time when you are alive now.
Then 11, that's where the verse we're looking for. Again, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong.
Right.
Neither is bread to the wise, nor riches to those of intelligence and understanding, nor favor to the men of ability. But time and chance overtaketh them all.
Now, I love the way it is phrased. That should have been amplified, right?
This is amplified.
Can you read it in NIV, verse 11? I wonder where it says time and opportunity.
NIV, okay.
Verse 11.
Okay, I'm just trying to get to NIV.
Okay.
Okay. Just, all right. It says... I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong.
Yeah.
Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all.
Okay. It also says chance. There's a version which says opportunity. But regardless, do you know, Brother Nzima, there are people who just feel,
Well,
that person seems to be very organized and he seems to be doing fine. Well, he's just lucky. For me, I'm unable to because of ABCD. Do you know that there are people who are genuinely in very troublous situations because those situations, they found themselves in that sometimes because of parents, their parents who did not do certain things they were supposed to do for the children. And so, because you see, what should happen is when you are born in life, you should find a rudder. Your parents should have put a rudder or a bridge which will help you move from one point to the other. Whatever resources they gathered up or established, that should give you a bridge or a rudder that makes you go higher. But there are certain situations where maybe someone was not fortunate to experience that. Sometimes through chaotic situations which may have happened, maybe the parents died much earlier. But 7 times out of 10, if I can use that expression, that is not the story in my country. Children are born without a rudder.
Yes.
Not because of unfortunate circumstances, but because there is a father who thought fatherhood is just about producing children. And Brother Nzima, this is strongly embedded in our culture.
It's terrible.
Where one can have a family of 9 children. And he has no plan about their education. He just believes, well, God has provided me all these children.
Let the children come.
Yeah, let the children come. And the children will come and these children will have to start fighting it out on their own. Issues of mentorship are completely absent. All right? Even when someone is doing fine and well, he has little or no time at all to inspire these children to mold their character, to give them career guidance and all that. You find all these things are completely absent. And even when a man was doing very well, by the time he dies, the children begins to sell off property. They'll sell off that property which their father left. And so I have seen people both from poor backgrounds and those who are fortunate to have rich parents, within a short period of time, they come to level zero.
Yes.
Why? It's a very disorganized way of growing up. But it's not supposed to be that. When you are married, hey, it's more than just producing children. 2 skills you need. You need to know how to plan. You need to know how to manage the resources God has put in your hands. All right? Now, let us read Proverbs 16, verse 1, because some people just believe, no, I mean, we shouldn't mind about tomorrow. Let's just, you know, God will take care of us. And I've always said, God surely takes care of his children, but he never takes care of carelessness. Whatsoever you sow, that is what you reap. Unfortunately, if as a man, as a father, you are very careless, it has long-lasting implications and disastrous consequences on your children.
That is right.
Now, let us read Proverbs chapter 16. And Brother Zima, these things can take away joy out of a family.
Yes, they can.
Many times when I have couples meetings, when you ask a question, what's the last quarrel you had, what you were fighting over and all that? 9 times out of 10, it will be something connected to finances.
Yes, that is true.
And if you think that is something we shouldn't talk about, you are very mistaken. You need to have wisdom on how to manage resources because
in the absence of
resources,
yes,
there's going to be stress.
No, that is true.
In the presence of stress, you won't be able to live joyful and happy lives.
Yes.
And I'm not telling you to start chasing after riches. It's not riches that bring joy. The little that God has allowed you to have in your hands, you can prudently manage those resources in so much that you can have a way of having readily available resources
that is right
for your needs.
That is
and true. That ability to think, to reason, to plan, it comes from God.
That is true.
We were made in his image and likeness. God did not create Adam on the 60th day and says, oh, I think I forgot to make oxygen.
Mm.
Let me know. He's such a wise God that even when he said, let there be light, when science takes its microscope to rather the prism, it gives the details of what bands of colors are in that light, what are the frequencies and all that.
Mm.
Imagine what a wise Master Buddha God is.
Yes.
And we should learn from that.
Mm.
Now, Proverbs, yes, brother, you wanted to say
just
something?
Just to chip in a little bit.
Yes.
You know, there's this false narrative that Hollywood has created, you know, where, you know, it's when looking at relationships, you know, he says the most important thing is love. You know, where people view it, you know, there's a distorted view of what love is, tying it to an emotion, you know, the chemistry between a man and a woman, that attraction. And, you know, where they say, sometimes they'll say, no, a man had nothing, but what is important is I love this woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have work, but I have love. That is not true.
Mm.
Because if you look at Adam, when he was in the garden, the Lord ensured that he had work. He had something to do. He had an income, for lack of a better term.
Mm.
In other words, a brother, mostly for us brothers, we need to ensure that we plan. It's not just working, but like you are saying, Pastor, that is very important, because if we don't plan, we're preparing for disaster.
Mm.
And on the mentorship part, that is a very big problem because we are alienated from our children.
Mm.
We work, we live with them in the same house, but we are not really impacting them. We are growing up as strangers. You don't even really know what is going on in the life of your child. Why? Because there is no proper planning. So I like the example you've given of a garden.
Yeah.
Because marriage is that field. You're given a bush. It's got trees. It's got shrubs. It's got thorns.
Mm.
And you have to take your time. You have to start digging. You have to start slashing. You have to fence it. So it's a lot of work. So marriage, you don't just sit down. You have to think. You have to plan.
Right.
So I think that is...
And thank you for emphasizing on planning, because that's the scripture we are reading now.
Yes, yes.
And thank you for bridging it up that way. Can we read Proverbs 16, verse 1 to 3?
The preparations of the heart in man.
Mm-hmm. Can you read that? Finish reading it. Then you also read it in Amplified.
All right. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
Amplified.
Amplified says, the plans and reflections of the heart belong to man.
Yes.
But the wise answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
I need to mention there that man has been given the privilege to plan, to prepare. To prepare for what? You are living through time.
Yes.
There are things which are coming ahead in your individual life. Mm. There will be a time when your health won't be as good as you are.
No, that is true.
What are you preparing for that? It's not a question of whether it will happen or not.
Mm.
Okay? If the Lord's coming tarries, you will surely get order. As you get order, there will be health challenges.
Mm.
How will your health be managed? How will your body be serviced? You know, it's like a church building, Brother Nzima. If it has lived for many years, you need to check, is that wall okay? Do we need to change the roof? These bodies we have been given are our work suits on earth. And as you continue living, this work suit will need more maintenance.
Yes.
So how are you living your life right now? How are you preparing for that time in the future?
Mm.
I'm not just talking about financial preparation, health preparation. What kind of foodstuffs are you consuming now? Are you just consuming sugary stuff, what do you call these, fast foods and things like that? Look here, I don't need to be a prophet to predict that at one point or the other, your health will break down. All of us, our health one time will break down, but depending on how you are preparing for that and how you are taking care of this building, you will be able to have those challenges, albeit in a more manageable way, or you are simply destroying your body.
Yeah.
And later on, you'll be seeking for a miracle. Now, it doesn't work like that.
Mm.
We need to watch how we are eating.
Mm.
Are you doing exercises?
Yes.
Hey, exercises are not a luxury. They are part of the discipline in putting your body together so that you don't have challenges as you move on.
Yes.
Financially, what plan do you have? Right now, you are working, you are earning a salary. I don't care how small or little that salary is. What percentage do you always put in savings? What are those savings for? Do you have a plan of one day I need to have a home of my own? I need to get away from rent. Do you think about such things? If you think, no, I'll only do that when I'll have a better job, that will never come.
Yes.
With whatever little that you have, think about tomorrow.
Yes.
If the Lord should take you today, how will your family survive? How will your wife survive? Do you just depend on employment, or you have something you do on the side where your passive income comes? You need to have wisdom. You need to plan and think about tomorrow. Now, the scripture here told us, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, do you know that where there is no preparation or plan, God's answer will have nowhere to fall on?
That's right.
That is why here we are taught preparations of the heart belong to man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The Lord doesn't answer or throw an answer in a vacuum. He throws an answer to where there is preparation, where someone has been knocking and seeking the Lord over something they desire. Then the answer which comes from the Lord is responding to that thought, to that idea, to that desire. You see that? When you read in the book of Acts, Paul one day was on his way to Bithynia. And that is what he planned. That is what he thought. That is what he desired. He wanted to go and preach the word of God there. But as he was in transit going there, it is God who told him, no, don't stop in Bithynia. I want you to go and proceed to Macedonia. That is where I have work for you. You know what is beautiful is Paul was not seated crossing his hands and saying, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. I can't minister until he tells me to. So I'll just sit here. No, this was a man full of the Holy Spirit and a passion and a desire to proclaim the word of God wherever the Spirit of God could lead them to. And they would work out a plan. Let us go to Bithynia. And when God sees hearts which are passionate, hearts with a plan, hearts with a sense of direction, the Lord will come through and tell you to say, yes, you can stay here and do this and that, or no, bypass this place, move on to another place. But there has to be a desire, there has to be a preparation. Whenever opportunity comes, but the heart or the person was not prepared for that opportunity, the person will either not see that opportunity or they will handle that opportunity very well and it will run away from them. All right. Now, so now let us move on to verse 2. So verse 1, God has given you the privilege, the opportunity to be able to plan. And when you plan, what should you do? You don't just live by your own desires and your thoughts to say, okay, this is the kind of a life I need or want. Let us read verse 2.
All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes.
So you can make a plan and it looks very beautiful to you. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with making a plan.
But the Lord weigheth the spirits.
And that is why it's beautiful when you are a child of God. When you are a child of God, you take that plan and you do what? Verse 3.
Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established.
You see that? That's where how a believer takes it. Makes the plans, commits them to the Lord. Now, read that in Amplified.
Okay. All the ways of him, that's verse 2.
Yeah, verse 3.
Verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord. Submit and trust them to him. And your plans will succeed.
And your plans will succeed.
If you respond to his wayward guidance.
Right? Did you hear how beautifully it is stated in Amplified? Yes. Read that again. Read that again.
Commit your works to the Lord.
Yes.
Submit and trust them to him. And your plans will succeed if you respond to his will and guidance.
Yeah. Now, how will plans succeed if there's no plan? Where there's no plan, there's nothing to succeed.
That is true.
You see that? I remember some time, years back, Brother Nzima, we used to have a young girl in our church, a young sister. And she wrote her secondary school examinations and she just felt like, well, you know what, there are no resources. So I'll just be doing this little business of, I think that was plaiting hair or something like that. Later on, I had a chance to talk to her. I was asking her, what are your plans? What do you intend to do?
Yes.
And I could see a child who had no sense of direction. The father, well, he loves his drink. And I told the young girl, can you please get your secondary school results? Can you apply for this course? And well, she did. Later on, I told her, apply for the bursary, for the scholarship. She did. And at first, well, she wasn't successful. But later on, there were others who were given scholarships who didn't get. And then, well, as per procedure, those who don't get the scholarships, another person can make a request to say that one was given a scholarship and they didn't utilize it. May I fill in that place? And it so happened. And well, she was on bursary. She graduated. She is working. Now, imagine all this beautiful thing which has happened to her. And right now, she's helping out the family in different ways through the job she has. Now, imagine, Brother Nzima, all that part of life would have been lost if there was no direction given to say you are wasting and killing your life. Can you get up, start doing this and that? So the thing is, God has given us free will. That is the most powerful thing which is in your possession. Free will. What choices do you make? All right? And if you make your plans, you have these thoughts, go in prayer, pray over it, and our Heavenly Father will be glad to direct you. Now, there's a song I used to love, Brother Nzima, when I was young in the early years of my Pentecostal experience. And I believe the song comes from, is that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The song goes something like, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct, and he shall direct thy paths. You see that? So there is a way you have, but it may not necessarily turn out to be the way of the Lord. But the beautiful thing is, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there are certain things you think it's your own thought. As you think through it, you realize that it's actually the Lord leading you into that. And that's why it's very important, to be a prayerful person. And being a husband, being a father, oh my, you have responsibility on your shoulders because you need to have a plan over your family. Now, you see, Brother Nzima, when you read in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for everything, right? There's a time when you say, okay, well, depending on how you feel led, there's a time when a couple are in the season of having children, but these children have to start growing up. And there's a time when now your energy needs to shift to beginning to mentor these children, spending time with them. There's a time when they will grow up, and if you did certain works well, they will become a joy. The strength you had has been transferred to them. And as you go back to being with your wife, depending on what you did in stage A and B, your older life will either become more stressful or it will be back to the earlier honeymoon you used to have, where you are now free if you want to just move about places, ministering the word of God. That may become a reality, or you just want to go into helping out the work of God. Others are so good at this that they'll make enough investments that even at the time when they're no longer working, it is this what used to be passive income which has grown to a place where they don't have to work, but it is these resources which are taking care of their lives, and they now have the liberty to do things they most desire. And this leads me to, as I'm concluding on this, to talk about, there's this man, I believe he was a Jew, Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow, this man tried to study the different stages human life goes through.
Mm.
And he came up with what is known as Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You've ever come across that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I just want us to go through those stages he mentioned. Let me see if I can have a look at it.
Yeah. And just maybe to just chip in a little bit.
Yes, brother.
Planning, very important. You know, as a teacher, it reminds me, you know, when we're in school, we're teaching, we have what we call lesson plans.
Mm.
And a lesson plan is a very important tool. And sometimes, you know, when your supervisors tell you they need to check your lesson plan, sometimes you feel bothered, you feel it's a lot of work. You know, you can still deliver a lesson without a lesson plan.
Mm.
But it won't be as effective if you planned it.
Yeah.
Because you may be tempted to talk about one thing and then you may take up too much time or too little time.
Hmm.
But a plan is going to guide you what to do at what stage. How do you keep your learners engaged so that your lesson is successfully delivered?
Hmm.
That's one thing I realized. And then talking about ignorance, you know, ignorance is no defense.
Hmm.
What you don't know will still hurt you.
Hmm.
If I don't know that there is a ditch there, I'll still fall in that ditch.
Yeah.
The ditch won't say this one is innocent, doesn't know that I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You still fall in it.
Yeah.
So why? Because there's no knowledge. So planning is very important. But if we are ignorant, we don't consider these things.
Right.
Later on, we'll start regretting. And I have seen, Pastor, people who started on very well, but they had too many children. They had no plan. They are so stressed, some, because you find that children can be, it's a lot of work to raise children.
Mm.
You find that you are giving attention to this child, you don't know what the other one is doing, you don't know what struggles the other child is going through. And as you're growing older, your energy is depleting, like you've said.
Mm.
So these things are very, very critical. And that is why we have a lot of stressed up families. And in the process, with this stress, the marriage is also stressed.
Mm.
And there's also this saying, you know, which when you look at a plan, someone will say, okay, I'll try to do it tomorrow. You need to get started. The moment you are admonished, you need to take action.
Mm.
It's like the saying which says, birds, you have five birds sitting on a line, and then three decide to start to move. Deciding to move doesn't mean they've moved. They only move when they take action. It's not just about, okay, we think about it. You have to implement these things. And it is very true, because as time goes on, you find that the future, you know, what we think is the future, what we think is very far, it's the future. You'll be surprised looking at how life is.
Yeah.
You find yourself there. And then we don't need to find ourselves in a situation where, like you've mentioned, we need to move from one level to another level.
Yeah.
A time will come where you are supposed to have bliss, you are supposed to have peace.
Mm.
And also this is attributed to acquiring knowledge, like reading.
Mm.
Reading on subject matters, researching, reading knowledge. You know, we, like in Africa, we have an apathy to reading. We just don't read.
Mm.
And that is a big problem.
Yeah,
I think that's what I can
say. Thank you so much, brother. And
yeah.
I was about to start talking about this man, Abraham Maslow.
Yes.
He was a Jew. He came from a Jewish family. And this man lived at a time when the Jews were going through persecution. At that time, that was in Russia in the early 1900s.
Mm.
And so certain challenges he went through, but well, later on he became a psychologist.
Mm.
And through study and research, he came up with what we call Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Mm.
And I find it interesting. And what he says in this is that as a human being, there are certain needs you have, needs which are basic, physiological needs, things like, well, you need food, you need water, you need shelter. Now, the way it is, when there are challenges to meet these basic needs, your mind won't be able to focus on other, what we can call higher forms of needs, like, oh, I need security around this house. I need, maybe I need health insurance. I need. You won't have a mind to think on those things until first the basic needs are met. Now, let's say one gets a job and they're able to, well, meet the basic needs. At least they have an income to buy food. And now you notice that when those needs are met, one begins to climb higher on this pyramid. They start having safety needs where, okay, I think I need to have some sort of insurance. I need to have... Later on, as this level of relaxation comes, well, one may have needs of love or belonging, where one will have the peace of mind, you know, to want to have a partner they can, a wife or a husband to settle down with. And, well, the hierarchy goes on and on. Now, well, of course, we don't have such a pyramid in the Bible, but there's a lot of wisdom in that, because one needs to be aware that as you progress in life, you need to manage each stage carefully. And that is why I said there has to be deliberate thought about how you plan out how your marriage life will be. And of course, you need to commit all these things in the hands of God. And when you are starting out as a young couple, I remember when I started out, well, it was quite a struggle. We were renting, and it was every now and then running up and down. There was literally no time to have free time. No time even to be with your family, because every now and then I needed to work to find something to put on the table for us to have a meal. Now, that is okay. It's a phase in life, but it becomes dangerous if you overstay in one stage, because the children you have, they'll need your attention. You need to mentor them. But if you become trapped at the bottom of the pyramid, where from sunrise to sunset, you are still pursuing the basic needs, you won't have time of affection with your wife. You won't have time to raise your children. So there's a time for everything. One needs to make progress from one level to the other. Whilst you are chasing up the basic needs, where God blesses you to have a little income, income is like a seed. You can either eat up everything, or you can be laying something aside so that with time you graduate to a point of having some passive income which can reduce certain stress you have. As you move through time, there has to be growth in the things you are doing. And that will lead to a healthier, a happy life than a situation where you grow old, but you still need to do very stressful work, because maybe the children weren't sent to a school. And if that doesn't happen, later on they start giving you problems, and then you start having headache, you start having hypertension. So we need to know that seeds we are not planting tomorrow will result into destitution tomorrow. If we feel it's not a priority to go through the homework your child had at school, if you feel, well, I don't have time to do that, you will certainly have more than enough time to grapple with the problem which the child will be giving you tomorrow. You see that? So there is a time for everything, and you're not going to be at that state of your life forever. And if we're going to experience joy in our families and in our marriages, let us be mindful that one day we'll be old. And there's no better scripture to close this session, Brother Nzima, than Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want to read it from Amplified, because it really presents a very graphic picture. I'll first read it in Ecclesiastes, I mean in King James. Then I want you to read it in Amplified, because Amplified really interprets all the figurative words used in this passage. So Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. So you see, those days will come, and he calls them evil days. When you'll be old, someone has to hold you. Those days are certainly coming if the Lord tarries, and they are evil because, hey, you won't be able to live life or do things with the energy you have right now. So utilize the blessing God has given you today very well. So remember now that thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now, verse 3, and we'll be reading it side by side. I'll read verse 3 in KJV. Brothers, you might read it in Amplified. So, in KJV, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Now, do you understand? He's speaking using a proverb here. Very graphic, proverbial illustrations. Amplified explains what these symbols mean. So can you read it, brother? It talks about the keepers of the house. You need to know what those are. It talks about the strong men, and then it talks about the grinders. Can we hear what those things are?
In the day when the keepers of the house, hands, arms, tremble, and the strong men,
what are the strong men?
Feet, knees.
Feet and the knees. These are the portions of your body which will hold you up. Yes. Here Solomon calls them the strong men.
Bow themselves, and the grinders, molar teeth, cease because they are few.
So you have grinders in your mouth.
Yes.
They are the machines which always chew whatever you eat to give you energy. But a time will come when all that equipment will be rusty and shaky, you know.
And those eyes who look through the windows grow dim.
Yeah. So the windows, those are your eyes. You won't be able to see things clearly the way you see them now. Now imagine that's how edged life looks like. Yes.
Verse 4. When the doors, lips, are shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding of teeth is low, and one rises at the sound of a bird, and the crowing of a rooster, and all the daughters of music, that is voice and ears, sing softly. Furthermore, they are afraid of a high place and of dangers on the road. The almond tree, which is hair, blossoms white, and the grasshopper, a little thing, is a burden. And the
thing, just hold there, brother Nzima. You know, it says even a grasshopper, something little, something insignificant, will be so burdensome.
Yes.
Just doing a little chore to say, oh, let me try to clean around. By the time you get up, oh, my back is paining. Yeah. Every little thing. And that is not enjoyable. No, but you know what?
That is true.
That's our picture for tomorrow.
No, that is
the question is, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? Live for God now. Do what you have to do to the best of your ability.
Yes,
because those days are coming.
No, that is true.
Yeah.
Is a burden. And the caperberry desire appetite fails. For man goes to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets and marketplaces.
You know, there's a beautiful song I love. I have heard all the land. Now, let me see if I can get those words. What's the title of that song? Never Grow Old.
Never Grow Old, yes.
Yeah. I love the words in this song. I have heard all the land on the far away strand, 'tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die, 'tis the land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, never grow old. In the land where we'll never grow old, never grow old, never grow old. In the land where we will never grow old. When our work here is done, hey, you have work on this earth.
Yes.
You need to know what is your job description.
Mm-hmm.
And the life's crown is won, and our troubles and trials are over. All our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. Now, I hope that will be a sweet ending for all of us, where we can reunite with the people that we loved. And all we are speaking about here is the joy of marriage, why some marriages work, why others fail. And I hope this series has been a blessing to you.
Shalom. God bless you. Amen. Be my way every day.